Martin?
Yes, you can, with pleasure.
Thank you. So, Father, we just want to pray for Martin. We thank you, Lord, that you have been with him in the preparation for this word. So as he brings the word to us, as he divides it and ponders on it, Father, we just thank you that you will speak to us through Martin on that which you have in store for each and every one of us. Have your way, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Friends, it's a delight to be here today. And if you're watching online, I think I'm on, then welcome. Last time I looked, there was somewhere between 8 and 12 live connections at the point that we're worshipping together, so others are worshipping with us at home. So welcome to you as well. If we've not met, I'm Martin Saunders. I'm part of the team here. I only appear occasionally because I'm largely involved at St. John's these days in Chatham on Railway Street. Now, I have to admit, I come to this passage with a number of questions. Some of them are deeper than others. Initially, it's that, what is it in the first verse? This isn't going to work. Let's just move on, shall we? In the first verse, which is, again, it will be like a man going on a journey and who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. What is it? Thank you. I'm not convinced it's... Oh, maybe you did get it to work. Let's see, the magic hands. Yes, it did, there you go. I'm confused now, where am I? I'm there. Right, well, I'm there. Okay. And we have an answer, because thankfully this question is answered by reading back a bit, previous verses, that again says we're on the same topic as the previous topic, and back at the start of chapter 25, we have this, that at that time the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And most of you will know the story of how 5 of them took extra oil and 5 of them didn't, and at that crucial time when the bridegroom was arriving, so 5 of them had gone off to the shops to buy extra oil, and they were therefore excluded from the banquet. And Jesus concludes that by saying, therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. So we're in that realm of the return of Jesus, the coming of the kingdom of heaven, the arrival of Jesus, and that sense of calling to be faithful, perhaps, to be prepared, you know, to take the extra oil with us. But that's that parable, if you like. Going back to before the beginning of chapter 24, Jesus has a few times said things like this: keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. He tells of the unexpected timing of the return of Jesus, liken it to if the house owner had known when the thief in the night was going to come, then, you know, they'd have stayed up waiting. And that sense in which we're in that realm of faithfulness, of serving God consistently until the day of the Lord comes, and for preparedness if that day is delayed, that day being the day of the return of Jesus to judge the world and bring justice to all, which we still look for in the future. So there's something here then in this passage about a calling to faithfulness, since we will be held accountable on Judgment Day for what's entrusted to us. So let's look at this story a bit more. We're told that one man is given 5 bags of gold, or in the Greek, 5 talents, another 2, and the final one gets 1 talent. Now, one of my questions is, what's a talent? And in the footnote to the NIV, it tells me that a talent is worth 20 years of a day laborer's wage. So let's do some maths. Here we go. Let's do some maths. If, for example, you're on Universal Credit, you can expect to receive that amount, £368.74 per month, if you're a single person over 25, and then they will pay for, if you're under 35, housing in a shared house, a one-bed house, one-bedroom within a shared house, which in Medway is about £400 a month at the moment. So let's call that £800 a month, £9,600 a year. Hold that, but also think for yourself, what are you taking in? What are you getting in your household? If you're not on Universal Credit, could you survive on that much? Do you now begin to understand why food banks are so prevalent? Just as an aside there. If you're on National Living Wage, £10.42 an hour, is the national living wage. And if you work 37 and a half hours a week and pay tax on that, you will get about £1,486 per month net. 20 years of that is one talent, £350,000. So two talents gives us £700,000, five talents, £1.75 million. And each were given according to their ability. So let's assume you're amongst the higher ability here, because you are. And let's also notice that the man who went away shared his wealth, 2.8 million in today's terms, amongst three of his trusted servants. But if you had 1.75 million, what would you do with it? If someone loaned it to you long-term, interest-free, wonder if you go self-employed. Wonder if you develop that idea that's been in your head forever, that dream. Maybe you'd buy a big house and open the bed and breakfast business. Maybe what I'd do. Maybe you'd follow your dream. Maybe you'd you fill in the blanks. What would you do with your 1.75 million? It's a lot of money. And if you had 350,000, would you dig a hole and bury it? Or perhaps these days put it in a current account in the bank that doesn't pay any interest? Or would you want to be considered more faithful than that with the money? Now, if the day of the return of Jesus is equivalent to the return home of the businessman in our story, then we are the servants, and we already have this kind of treasure. Now, I hear you say, no, 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 I don't have that amount of money in my bank. I understand that. And that's where parables have a limit in mapping from the story to our situation. Otherwise, we're also left with a really difficult description of God from the third man. But let's look at that for a moment. Faithfulness is a key word here. This is how the third man responded. Master, he says, I knew you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed, so I was afraid of you. It's not the usual view of God that we have, is it? Could we say perhaps that this third man believed in a false God? He had a false view of God, a God of injustice. And so he tried somehow to get his own back on God, tried to limit God somehow by not using the resources that he had faithfully. But then also we have that really hard response from the man who lent all the money to start with, the one that we assume is God. In many ways, the businessman chooses to treat the man in the way that he is perceived. You think I'm harsh, so I'll be harsh towards you. There's echoes here for me of the way that Jesus teaches about forgiveness of sins. In Matthew 6, having taught the Lord's Prayer, Jesus ends and comments, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. The measure by which we use friends is perhaps the measure by which God uses with us. So if you rehearse other people's sins, how much is God going to rehearse your sins to you later? How far then can we map the parable of the return of the parable to the return of Jesus? It's hard to be sure. We are on delicate ground here. If we say the man who went on a journey is God, then hear this again. Take the bag of gold from him. Give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more. Whoever has, they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them and thrown. Throw that worthless servant outside, where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. A clear reference to hell. But then these end verses show that something about justice here. Justice on the last day has to imply that there will be some that will not enter the eternal presence of God in heaven. The justness of God and universalism, i.e. that thought that we will all go to heaven, do not go together, friends. One is logically at odds with the other. But what is the failure of the man with the bag of gold. It wasn't that he tried and he failed. He failed to try. He refused to try to make anything of the gift that was given or loaned to him. He didn't even try. And I wonder whether that's part of the thinking here. So if it will be like this, goes back to verse 14, and it is the day of the return of the Lord, and so the parable's focus is what happens when Jesus comes back, then Jesus is saying it's a bit like this. When I come back, there will be a reckoning as to how faithful you've been with the resources that are loaned to you. Now, we might think that nothing is loaned to us, but actually, we do have to recognize that we live with a theology that says, for example, this is David, I think, no, maybe Solomon on the way to the temple. Everything comes from you, and what we have given you only comes from your hand. Or Paul to Timothy, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Effectively, your whole life, your abilities, your house, your finances are all on loan from the Almighty, friends. We come into this world with nothing and we depart with nothing. If you work, then over time you will earn the equivalent of these talents. 1.75 million over a 38-year working life is only £64,000 per annum gross, or £46,000 take home pay once you've paid this, that, and the other tax and national insurance. Just under £4,000 a month. And there are some people that earn that much. Even if you're on benefits over your working life, your working age life, you would receive one talent. £767 a month times 20 years is the equivalent of one talent. How you use your time, your money, your resources, your skills, your home says something about your view of God. Equally, how you view your God will determine how you choose to live today, friends. So the £64,000 question is, are you faithful with the resources you do have? I don't just mean, do you give some of that to further the work of the church through the collection? I mean, are you living every moment aware that everything you have is both loaned by God and that your life could end at any time, since he's the one that puts breath in our bodies? Are you living aware that faithfulness is about growing the resources of our Lord? Yes, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and in that sense, he doesn't need the money that's on loan to us. And maybe it's not about money at all. Maybe it's more that we all, as human beings, have been created with free will, with free choice about how we use our lives. So he doesn't own us in that sense of dictating to us what we think and what we do, but instead we choose to respond to his love for us. And remember that God longs to spend eternity with all humanity. He longs for that. How then are we going to woo others into the kingdom? Are you to make that choice, help others to make that choice to respond to God's love? It all starts, I suggest, with our example, our witness, our willingness to try. To try to be open about our faith. To try to pray with people. To try to live faith-filled lives. And notice I talk about trying. We are not always going to succeed. But if you're not trying, you won't ever succeed. Let's go back to free choice a moment. Yes, We have free choice, but we are normally constrained by society's laws and norms. So most of us don't murder or steal stuff. None of us expect to be able to commit adultery with impunity or to covet our neighbour's stuff. But do you worship only God? Are you faithful to God with your time? How many hours do you idle away on social media or on watching TV or on chit-chat when you could be worshipping or praying or encouraging others or being hospitable or investing in other people? Now, if you have less energy than there are hours in a day, then I understand, but most of us are not in that situation. Even then, you could soak in sung worship rather than indulge in the next Netflix series. As God's children, we do have all the resources of the kingdom of God on our side. We are called to be people who seek to further the kingdom of God. Yes, in terms of enabling others to come to faith, but also, secondly, in helping people to properly understand God and his ways. Otherwise, too many people, like that third servant, have a false view of God. And so they act as if they don't have anything from God. The third way, I suggest, is in seeking to see the characteristics of God's kingdom break into our world. So that friend at work, that person you meet at the school gates, that person you meet in the day centre, at the bowls club, or wherever you go, pray for them to come to faith. Pray for them to grow in faith. Equally, pray for one another. Paul to Timothy in his second letter says, pray for one another. But also pray for that friend who's sick. Pray for healing for them. Even better, pray with them for healing. Now, some of you will say, I can't do that. It might not work. The very least you can do is try. The fact that you've had courage to offer to pray is often mind-blowing enough. How about your home, your resources? Could you invite more people around? People that you want to see come to know Jesus? People that you might be able to invest in to help them grow in faith? If you're low on cash, could you use your creativity to bless others? Could you write encouraging letters? Could you choose to use your tongue to encourage others, rather than tear down and destroy? A few weeks ago, Paul and Becky Harcourt were here. They were so encouraging and helpful. And if you weren't here, then I guess I'm left asking, what does that actually say about you and your priorities? Are you making an idol that you worship in preference to God? If you were here, then could you continue to practice listening to God for someone else? Just imagine if over coffee, so people paired up and asked God what he wants to say to us today. How different would that make the coffee session? Or maybe that's not your thing. Maybe you could just say, what's God been saying to you recently? That's not hard, is it? Come on, let's try it, see if you're all awake still. What's God been saying to you recently? 1, 2, 3. What's God been saying to you recently? There you go, you've all said it once, say it again. Somebody with meaning, not now. But equally, there's follow-up questions to that, isn't there? What are you doing about it? What's challenging about that? Who are you bringing along with you on that journey? How can I help you with that? I forgot to keep clicking the clicker. There you go, that's what I went to end at. So, where have we been today? I think there's a few things from this parable. One is that Jesus will return one day. That's a certainty. This world will not go on as it is. Secondly, when Jesus returns, we will be called to account for how faithful we have been with the resources that we have. In terms of in up out, which I think you all recognise, I hope you do anyway, that sense of we have a life that is an inner life, as a community we support and encourage each other, we have a life that is out. We encourage others that do not know Jesus to come to faith. And also we want to grow our relationship with God, if that's the upward dimension. And so we want to seek to see God at work, both in the lives of those in this community, but also in our own lives. And that's about our own relationship with God. But also we want to see God at work in those that don't yet know Jesus for themselves. I want to suggest to you too that actually we have more than we think. We have more time than we think. We have more in that you can choose to spend your time in seeking to see the kingdom come. And you might think, oh no, I'm old, I don't go anywhere, I can't do anything like this. But actually, the hardest work is prayer. The spiritual battle is won or lost in prayer. And even if your feet don't work anymore, your mind does, and you can pray. And you can do the battle in the heavenlies. So let's use the time that we have to grow the kingdom of God using all the resources that we've got available to us. May you have wisdom then as you review your life, your priorities, your spend decisions, how you spend your time and your money. Because we're called to be people who invest in seeing God's kingdom grow and multiply. Above all else. Let's take a moment to pray, friends. Father, we thank you that you are a gracious God. That you do not hold our past against us. That we can come to you in forgiveness, seeking your forgiveness. Thank you that thus we can say that the past is behind us and the future before us. And Father, we ask that you would use our lives to your glory and honor. That somehow through us, your kingdom might grow. That the time, the money, the accommodation that we have, the skills that we have, we commit them to your glory, your honor, the furthering of your kingdom. Thank you, Father, that you don't leave us on our own, but you put your spirit in us. And that you lead us into all truth. So, Father, we ask that you would give us your spirit's wisdom about how we use our time. How we use all the resources that you've put at our disposal. Lord, have mercy, we pray.